Rabosa, we're talking about the Av, Nezek, the Nezikin are divided into Avos. One of them is called Bar. And with regard to Bar, we have a fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. And the truth is, we don't know exactly what that machlokas is all about. There's one version of that machlokas which is called Rabba, and there's another version of that machlokas which is called Rav Yosef. They're literally two different versions. And there are two different issues that come to the fore with regard to Melechus Bar in this machlokas between Rabba and Rav Yosef, which is two interpretations of the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. Now, what we're looking at here is on Daf Nun Amud Aleph. So you want to turn to Daf Nun Amud Aleph. And we're going to start from... But we're going to... Actually, what we're going to do first is present the machlokas between Rabba and Rav Yosef, and then we'll see the Gemara inside of Mirtz Hashem. So I need your help here to write notes. You know, normally I would write this on a blackboard, but I don't have a blackboard. So if you can write this down, because unless you get the facts down on the ground, it's going to be challenging. Okay, what are the two issues that we're dealing with? And this is even before we get to Rabba and Rav Yosef. The two issues are, what's the machayev of Bar? Is it A or is it B? Those are the two issues. Is it A, the Rishus HaRabim? Okay, the fact that a person created a Bar in Rishus HaRabim, and as a footnote, obviously he doesn't own the Bar if it's in Rishus HaRabim. So there the Machayev would have to be not the ownership, the bialus over the Bar, but rather the creation of the Bar itself. And in fact, the Torah gives us two different forms or permutations, if you will, of creating a Bar. One is called Ki Yiftach Ish Bar, and the other is called Ki Yichre Ish Bar. So we'll start backwards. Ki Yichre Ish Bar means he dug the bar. And if he dug the bar, that's called Chafiras HaBar. Clearly he created a bar Yesh Me'ayim. The second possibility of Bar Rishus HaRabim is called Ki Yiftach Ish Bar. Somebody else created the bar. He did the Chafira. But the bar was covered. And now you come along, when I say you, I mean the person who's chayef for bar in this case, and you remove the cover. That's called ki yiftach ish bar. But whether or not it's this way or that way, it's creating a bar b'rishus HaRabim. Now, creating a bar b'rishus HaRabim has two different negative elements to it. One is the fact that in a sense he usurped the rights of the Rabbim. I mean, who gave me samcha? Who gave you rights to dig holes in Rishus HaRabim? That itself is an illegal procedure. Nobody appointed you. Now, I point this out because later on in the sugya we're going to have a case where you were authorized to create a bar Rishus HaRabim. And that's called in English, I think, a cistern. Is there such a word? Mm-hmm. Did I pronounce that right? Mm-hmm. A cistern means a bar that's used to collect water. Mm-hmm. And although, again, you know, walking down the streets of Yerushalayim, you won't see, you know, these boros mayim commonly. But if you go to architectural digs, you'll realize that back in the day, there was public access to water, not the way we have it, you know, where you open up a beres, but where you know, you take your dli and you dig out, you know, you scoop up water from the public cistern. But that's not what we're talking about now. That's actually going to be the flip opposite of what we're talking about now. What we're talking about now is a person who illegally digs a bar in Rishus HaRabim. He has altered the structure of the ground of the public domain. And for that, he deserves to be liable. But there's a second dimension here, and that is what's called a takola. The fact that he usurped the rabbim and destroyed the karka of the public domain, okay, we'll sue him for damages to the karka, or we'll force him to fill up the hole, whatever have you. But that's not the reason why, if Yenem Shar falls into the bar and breaks its leg, you have to pay for that. You know, veterinarians charge a lot these days. So that's because of the second dimension here of digging a bar b'shus harabim, and that's called the takola dimension. Now, what we're going to see in our sugya is that you can have one without the other. For example, you could dig a bar in your private yard, in your own private property, which is called a chutz or a courtyard, and yet it still remains a takola. Let's say, for example, if you open up the hole, you know, the access to the bar in Rishus HaRabim. So the ground that you dug is your own private property, but if there is an access to this bar dangerously, precariously in Rishus HaRabim, then the Takola element, which is the second element, is there, even though the first element is not there. Fine. So again, the first dimension of our discussion today is what's the deal with Bar B'Rishus HaRabim? And you and I would say intuitively that for sure the creation of a bar in Rishus HaRabim is enough to mechayev you in this case bar. You have to pay damages because it has both elements. Number one, you illegally changed the structure of the Rishus HaRabim itself by digging this bar, and number two, you have created a takola. And it matters not whether you created this takola by removing a lid or by digging the bar. Then we get to dimension number two, and that is bar Rishus HaYochid, which means that here your chayav, not for creating a takola, not for illegally usurping by digging ground, digging a pit in Rishus HaRabim, you dug it in your own private Rishus HaYochid, not in Rishus HaRabim. But nevertheless, the Torah says you're chayav, and the machayav here is bailus over the bar. And that's called Ubal Habar Yishalev, that the owner of the bar pays. That's what it says in the Pasuk. And now we're ready for the machlokas between Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rabba holds that a bar b'rishus harabim kuli alma lo pligi d'chayev. There was never a doubt in anyone's mind, no one could deny, that a bar b'rishus harabim is chayev. For the reasons that we gave earlier, you have illegally created a bar in Rishus HaRabim. This is not a public cistern or anything like that. And you've created a takola in Rishus HaRabim. Says Rabba, what about a bar Rishus HaYochid? Here, Rabbi Yishmael says, Yepot. Why? Because even if the rabbim would be endangered by this bar, which is in Rishus HaYochid, and I'll give a few examples in just a minute, nevertheless, you didn't illegally usurp the Rishus HaRabim. You didn't misuse, you didn't, you know, abuse your rights as a citizen vis-a-vis the rabbim. You actually were within your legitimate legal rights to dig this bar. And therefore, Rabba insists that according to Rabbi Yishmael, when the Torah says, Ubal Habar Yishalem, right, if somebody wouldn't mind doing me a favor just to open up, Alan, could I ask you to do just to open up the parash itself of bar, and we'll read the psukim. But Ubal Habar Yishalem, says Rabbi Yishmael, that's a case where you are considered the bailim because you illegally created a takola. That makes you into the bailim. Can you sell this bar On the open market, do you have rights to the bar? Do you own the bar? Obviously not. You dug the bar of Rishus Arab. But Rabbi Shmuel says that that's considered the Bala bar. You're the Bala bar, not. Don't interpret the pasuk, says Rabbi Shmuel, that you're the Bala bar because what? Because you can sell that bar. It's in your backyard and your private property. No. You're called the Bala bar because you created the bar. And where did you create the bar? In Rishus Arab. Now, Rabbi Shmuel goes very far with this, because you can have a bar in your backyard, which is dangerous for the rabbin. And I'll give you two examples of that. Example number one is where you dug your bar exactly contiguous to the Rishus Arabim. So anybody walking on the edge of Rishus Arabim is endangered by this bar. All that has to happen is that one wheel of his wagon or one leg of his shar might, you know, tip over and boom, you know, the wagon goes spinning or the shar goes spinning in midair and falls into the bar. Says Rabbi Shmuel, no, that's not your problem. You had every right to dig that bar, and we're going to shift the responsibility to the holchei Harabim, you know, to those who walk in Rishus Harabim. We're going to say that they are responsible to be marchik themselves, to stay away and distance themselves from the bar. And the second permutation of this kind of chiddush of Rabbi Shmuel at Yepatur is the case where you were mafkir your entire Rishus with the exception of the bar. And in such a case, Rabbi Shmuel says, you're potter. Why are you potter? Because the machayev of bar is not the ownership of the bar. Rabbi Shmuel holds that the machayev of the bar is the creation of the bar. And you had every right to create this bar in your backyard. I went ahead and you were mafkir all the area around the bar, sviv habar. So what? You're entitled to do that as well. Who says that right? It says here, Balabor Yishalim, says Rabbi Shmuel, Balabor Yishalim is a hemshech of the previous pasuk, which says, Ki Yiftach Ishbar, Ki Yichesh Bar. And that Ki Yiftach Ishbar, Ki Yichesh Bar, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is happening where? In Rishus Arabim, and therefore you're chayef for creating a takol in Rishus Arabim. That which you do in your private yard, that's your own business. This is what I call capitalism to its extreme. You know, it's like the story of two people in a boat, and one person is in this part of the boat, and he's drilling a hole. So the other guy says, well, the boat will sink. So he says, so what? I mean, I'm drilling it in my half of the ship. And this is really what Rabbi Shmuel is saying here. I can dig a bar in my backyard and pfeifstich on it, as we say, go fly a kite, go blow a whistle, because I'm doing everything within my legal rights. It's my land. I can do whatever I want in my land. You went ahead and you dug it right there on the borderline of Rishus Arabim, and it's very dangerous now. Somebody might fall into the bar. That's their problem. Let them dig for that. I don't have to dig for that. Well, let the municipality put up a wall, you know, a fence that would prevent people from falling into my bar. They have to distance themselves. And even if I was mafkir the entire area around the bar, it's okay, I'm allowed to do that too. There was no illegality here, and it's not a bar v'shus harab. The yesod ha-yesodos, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is bar v'shus harab. I don't own the bar, but I'm chay for creating the bar, and if I was legally creating a bar in my backyard, that's, Rabbi Shmuel says, I'm pot. Comes along Rabbi Akiva, and he says, no. You're right, Rabbi Shmuel, 50% of the way. I definitely agree with you that ki yichre or ki yiftach means for creating a bar in Rishus Arab Yechayev. That's undeniable. And Rabbi, the Yesodos of Rabbi is that everybody agrees, there's no debate about it, that a bar in Rishus Arab is Chayev. But the Torah went ahead and said, Ubala bar Yishalem, to create an additional Machayev, an additional category, and a Siva Sachiv, which is called Bailus over the bar. And therefore, if you own a bar, and that bar is a takola, is dangerous for the rabbim, you're liable for it. You have to do whatever you have to do to see to it that no one will fall into the bar. You cannot shift the responsibility, as Rabbi Shmuel would have it, to the rabbim and tell them that they have the headache. If I create a bar, says Rabbi Akiva, in my backyard, and although initially there was nothing illegal about that, and not only that, no one has access to the bar, but then I make it accessible. This bar becomes accessible to the rabbim. For example, I'm mafkir the entire area around it. Now, since my bar, which I own, is dangerous for the rabbim, I take on the responsibility and the liability to pay compensation for any damages. If, for example, says Rabbi Akiva, I would dig my bar right there on the boundary of Rishus HaRabim, such that clearly it's dangerous, even though there was nothing illegal about digging that bar, it was in my Rishus, I could do what I want, my Rishus, I'm chayv. The very ownership of a takola, the bailus over a takola, is itself considered ubal habar yishalim. So we have now, according to Rabbi Akiva, two categories. Rabbi Shmuel only has one category, namely what? Creating a bar. Where did you create the bar? Where did you create this takola? Obviously, Rishus HaRabim. Comes along Rabbi Akiva and says, no, I have another category. A bar Rishus HaYachid, which is a takola. And even though there was no illegality in creating the bar, as long as my bar is dangerous, says Rabbi Akiva, it's no different than a shar of what we call shame, but regular my shar is dangerous, and therefore I have to watch my shar. No different, I have to watch my bar. It's my bar, I'm responsible.
Rabbi Akiva hold that any bar b'shus ha'yachid is chayv, not just on the gvul, or if he's
not? No, if it's not a takola, then there's no chayv to watch it. But as soon as the bar becomes a dangerous bar, even though it's no fault of my own, the Balabar was not guilty here of doing anything illegal, but at the end of the day, that bar is the takola. It's accessible to the rabbim as they walk through Rishus HaRabim. Then the Balabar, insofar as he owns the bar, he pays damages. Why? Because the Torah says, Ubal Habar Yishalim. A whole new machayel. This is what I call, you know, Reb Chaim would have said about Rabbi Akiva, Tzvei Dinin. There are two machayvim here, and they don't overlap. One is the machayv for creating a takola. You don't own the takola. It's a Rishus HaRabim. To that extent, Rabbi Akiva walks hand in hand with Rabbi Shmuel. There's no plunk about that. Where does Rabbi Akiva part ways? Says Rabbi Akiva, there's another machayev, and that's called bailus over the bar. Again, it's only bailus over the bar if the bar is the takola to Rishus HaRabim. But here, you're not chayev for creating a takola, you're chayev for owning a takola. That's the shita of Rab. Now, I'm not ready for questions yet, Alan, because I'm still, you know, trying to organize the sugya in some way, and there'll be a lot of issues that have to be addressed here that I'm not sure if I'm ready to address. But what I'm ready for now is Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says the following. Whereas Rabbah thinks that the Yisoda Yisodas and the primary mode of bar about Les Man de Polik is going to be Bar Vishus HaRabim, Rav Yosef says just the opposite. The primary mode of bar, the Ikar Machayev of bar, is Ubal Habar Yishalem. Kuli Avalo Pligi, says Rav Yosef, that ownership over a bar, insofar as that bar is dangerous to the rabbim, is a machayev in bar. Nobody would question that. Even Rabbi Shmuel would agree that if you have bailus over a bar, you're chayev. Where is the machlokus between Rav and Rav Yosef? Pum fakeh. It's over the question of bar versus a rabbim, of a bar which is not owned by anybody. The Bala Bar is not the Bala Bar because he doesn't own it. It's not in his backyard. Meaning, according to the Shita of Rav Yosef, and this would explain Rabbi Akiva, the paradigm of Nizikin as a universal concept is bailus, is ownership. Take the case, for example, of Shar. It's my Shar, and therefore I'm responsible for the shor. Says Rabbi Akiva, it's my bar. I dug this bar in my private property. I'm responsible for the bar. I dig a bar, Mishus HaRabim? Okay. it's a bad thing to do. I don't deserve shlishi or shishi for that, and I could probably get petch, but I'm not liable for that. And let the street cleaners or the municipality who's ever responsible for making sure that there are no dangerous things lurking in the Rishis Rab, let them take care of the bar. It's not my headache. Because, again, insofar as bar is just a case in point, a specific application of a general universal principle called Mamon HaMazik. Mamon HaMazik means it's your Mamon that damaged. If I own the bar, says Rabbi Kiva, Nicha, I'm Chayev for the bar. If I don't own the bar, let the Rabbin rack their brains and figure out how to get rid of this dangerous thing. There are all sorts of dangerous things that lurk in Rishus HaRabbin. I'm not responsible for that. You may say that if I bring a shar into Rishus HaRabbin, I'm responsible. No. I'm responsible just around for my shar, not for Yenim shar. You know, I don't have to run around cleaning up Rishus HaRabbin. There's a famous story, by the way, about the Ritzina Rebbe that he came to Eretz Yisrael and he started cleaning up the streets. So they asked him why, Rebbe. He says, "Because I love Eretz Yisrael. I have to clean the streets." So there's no chiv in the zikah to go ahead and clean up the streets of Rishus HaRabbin. Again, he did a very big avla here by digging. No one's denying that on an ethical level he's chayav. You know, this guy should be tarred and feathered publicly. That's a pun. Because he dug a public takol. But that's not the machayav of the zikin. The zikin means mohen amas. The only exception to that rule is adam amas. Because Adam HaMatzik has nothing to do with bilus, you know, that I watch my body to make sure it doesn't damage because it's me, not because it's my property. But once we go into Mamon HaMatzik, whether it's bar, whether it's shar, whether it's regel, eish, whatever it might be, I own this property, I'm chai. Comes along Rabbi Shmuel.
It's not a question.
Just one second. Comes along Rabbi Shmuel. And Rabbi Shmuel says, according to Rabbi Yosef, that there are two machayvim of bar. Surely, Ubal Abar Yishalim is a machayv of bar. And Rabbi Kiva is definitely right about that, that the machayv of Nezikin and bar in specific is Bailus. But there's another parasha. The Torah says, Ki Yichre, Ki Yiftach, Al Iske Psicha, Al Iske Kriya, which means that I'm chayv for creating a bar, and therefore creating a bar b'shus HaRabim is a machayv. Good. So let's just summarize. According to Rabba, Kuliyamalo plea that creating a bar, meaning in Rishus HaRabim is a machayv, machlokas is there an additional machayv of bailus? Rabbi Shmuel denies it, and Rabbi Kiva embraces it. According to Rabbi Yosef, on the other hand, the milsa, the pshita, that Kuliyamalo pligi is bailus over the bar, balav or yishalim, as I state in Pasuk. And the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva is that when the Torah says ki yichro ki yiftach, it's breaking new ground. There's a whole new machayev, namely what? Namely creation of a bar, meaning in Rishus HaRabim, and Rabbi Shmuel denies it. Rabbi Shmuel reduces the entire parsha of bar to the case of what? I'm sorry, I got the names mixed up. What I meant to say was that Rabbi Akiva reduces the entire parasha of bar, according to Rabbi Yosef, to what? To bailus over the bar, because it has to fit the pattern of Nezikin. And Rabbi Shmuel says no. Rabbi Shmuel says that the Torah created a whole new category, a whole new machayev, in addition to the primary category of bailus over the bar, that's bar b'shus hayachid, there's also bar b'shus harab for creating the bar. Yeah. Now I think I'm beginning to get oriented.
Yeah, I was going to say, in modern times, maybe, perhaps, what would qualify was if you're driving in the shus harabim with a mattress on the top of your car, you're transporting it, and it falls off and it goes into the Rishus HaRabim, you have a chiyuv to take it away.
To be misalik, it.
Yeah, right? because that's a bar. It's a bar of Rishus HaRabim.
So that would be true according to Rabbi Yishmael. According to Rabbah, that would be true even in Rabbi Akiva.
Right.
According to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Akiva, it would not be true. Whatever goes into Rishus HaRabim, that's the problem of the Rabbim. The Torah says, Bala Bar Yishalim. Ah, but one second. He owns the mattress. He owns the mattress and it's in Rishus HaRabim. So that's the case that everybody agrees with. That's the case that everybody agrees with. Now we see the Braisa. Now this Braisa is on Daf Nun Amud Aleph. And it's approximately... You see where the lines get wide? Everybody see the wide lines on Daf Nun Amud Aleph?
Yeah.
So you count down three lines from the beginning of the wide lines. The first word in the line is Mesve. Okay? So it says like that. Hachofer bar birshus harabim. He digs a bar in Rishus harabim. So according to Rabbah, everyone's going to say he's chayev in this case. But the issue is a different one, because upsach al rishus hayachid. Even though it's a subterranean bar that's under the ground of rishus harabim, but nevertheless there's no access of the rabim to this bar, because the opening of the bar, if the bar has a curvature to it, is in rishus hayachid. And therefore the creator of this bar, although again, I would give him pech for creating a bar in rishus harabim, he has no right to do that. But nevertheless, it's not a takola. And if somebody comes into his rishus and falls into the bar, he has a right to say to him, well, who invited you into my rishus? And therefore the braisa says, patur. So far we understand the logic of the braisa. The afal pishena rashoi lasos came. Nobody gave him the green light. He doesn't have municipal permission to dig a bar deep down and under the terrain of rishus harabim, but lefisha eino, and that for sure is infraction. She'eino sin chalol tachas rishus harabim. You know, he can't create open space under rishus harabim, but nevertheless, he's not chayv in his kabar. Why? Because the pesach is where in his backyard in his rishus. And at this point, the Gemara understands that the Braisa, the intention of this Tana and the Braisa, is that no matter what happens here, even if the Pesach is dangerously close to the Ravim, nevertheless, you are potter. And that's got to be against Rabbi Yishmael. But let's go back to Rabba. You remember that Rabba and Rabbi Yishmael said that the only time that you could be chayev, according to Rav Yosef, is a bar b'shus harabim. But it's a bar b'shus hayachid, then you would be potter, correct? Even though the rabbin have access to that bar, because the bar itself is in b'shus hayachid, correct? So let's see how this all plays itself out. Again, even though he dug the bar under the ground of rishus harabim, but for all intents and purposes, where is the bar? It's a rishus hayach, because there's no way that from the rishus harabim you have access to this bar. And it you know, you get the impression that this bar is that this Pesach, even though it's in his private yard, is very close to the rishus harabim. Why do I get that impression? First of all, because otherwise, what's the chiddush of this price? I mean, what was the avmina that should be chayav? But secondly, because actually the guf habar is in rishus harabim, so it must be the Pesach can't be too far away. So the Pesach is dangerously close to the bar, but nevertheless, Rabbi Shmuel would hold that bar b'shus harabim is chayav, but this is not a bar b'shus harabim because there's no Pesach to the bar b'shus harabim. This is a bar mitzad bailus habar. Right. So again, Rabbi Akiva says that this is a machayev of bar because of bailus, correct? In fact, according to Rabbi Yosef, it goes even more extreme. According to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef's frame reference, the only machayev of bar is bailus. So here he certainly has a certain element of bailus, but nevertheless, if we go like Rabbi Shmuel, at least, that the Machayev of Bar is Rishus Harabim, here, since there was no Pesach in Rishus Harabim, therefore he's part. Then the Braisa goes on and says, HaChofer Boros Sichin Umaros. These are various forms of Boros. Boros are usually considered round. Sichin are a little bit long and stretched out. Maoros are square. I don't know, whatever different shapes of Boros. Now, where did he dig this? In the second case, he dug it in Rishus Hayachid. Upsachol Rishus Harabim. But the opening of this bar is Rishus Harabim. chayav. Okay, we have to come back to that in just a minute. And then it says, Hachofer boros b'shus hayachid hasmuch al rishus harabim kigon elu hachofrim le'ushin. Ushin is a kind of a foundation on which you will build a wall, right? Every wall has to have a foundation. So this guy is digging down below the ground in order to create his foundation for the choma, right? For the wall that he wants to build in his backyard. And he's allowed to do that. That's what people do. Pot. Now, you get the impression from the language of this braisa that the reason why he's potter is because of this ushin business. You know, because ushin is very acceptable and that's what people do. As if to say that le'ushin, he's potter. But if not for le'ushin, if not for that mitigating circumstance, he'd be chayev. Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, machayev, even in the case of chofer le'ushin, he's chayev. Why? Because he dug in a place that's so close to Rishus HaRabim that it's dangerous. Ad sheyase mechitza asor. It's his responsibility to set up a mechitza between the Rabim, which are smuchim, and the bar that he dug in his own Rishus HaYachid. O sheyarchik, or when he digs to set up these ushin, he's got to be marchik himself from the Rishus HaRabim. How much? So the shear of Harchoki here is for Tfachim, because people walk in Rishus HaRabim, they get very close, or the animals go in Rishus HaRabim, they get very close. So you have to be marking your bar for Tfachim. Okay. Now, we're going to analyze this braisa from the top to bottom, in the light of the machlokas between Rabbah and Rav Yosef. And the Gemara says the following. L'chora, says the Gemara, there is a contradiction within this braisa. Why? Again, if we go back to the top of the braisa and the resha of the braisa, it would seem that if a person digs a bar in his own rishus, no, I'm sorry. Just one second, I'm sorry, I have to go. Oh, so when we talk about the resha here, we're talking not about the case where he dug a bar in Rishus HaRabim and the Pesach was Rishus HaYochid. Like that's not relevant to that discussion yet, at least at this point. But let's talk about the case, excuse me, of a person who digs boros sichon ma'oros in Rishus HaYochid. In such a case, it would seem that what's the din?
It's Pischo Rishus HaRabim.
Yeah. It's only because it was Pischo Rishus HaRabim, therefore he is chayev. Just one second. So let me ask you the following question. I mean, this is just a quiz question here. Take a look at the braisa and answer me the following question. Supposing a person digs a bar in his own Rishus HaYochid and there's no Pesach in Rishus HaRabim whatsoever. Would he be chayv for such a bar or potter from such a bar? Jeff, you want to do me a favor? Look into the braisa and tell me what you see. I'm going to give you the question again. He digs the bar in Rishus HaYochid, but there's no Pesach in Rishus HaRabim. Is he chayv or is he potter?
Where's the Pesach? Rishus HaYochid.
Right. Everything is in Rishus HaYochid. There is no Pesach in Rishus HaRabim. Is he chayv or is he potter? What's the impression you get?
If it's close to Rishus HaRabim, then he's chayv because it's accessible.
But look, the case is where he was chofer boros b'shus hayachid, upsacho l'rshus harabim, he's chayv. It doesn't say that he's chayv for being smucho l'rshus harabim.
But we have ulshin before we had to.
Well, let's hold off. I'm going to get to ulshin in just a minute, but ulshin I'll call the safer for our purposes, just so we, you know, for communicative purposes. Let's talk about the resha. The resha reads the following before ulshin. It says the following: Chofer boros sichnu ma'oros v'rshus hayochid upsachol v'rshus haram. Where's the opening of this bar? Where does it end up, so to speak? In v'rshus haram. Then it says chayim. So now I again rephrase my question: what would be if I dug a bar in v'rshus hayochid and the Pesach is in Rishus HaYochid, the entire bar is in Rishus HaYochid, what would be the deal in that case? Potter, correct?
Right.
Okay. But on the other hand, now we get to your Sefer, Alan. It says, HaChofer Boros Rishus HaYochid HaSmuch Al Rishus HaRavim. Then, the Brisa says he's Potter in what case?
Ushin.
Only in case of Ushin. Implying that if it wasn't for this mitigating circumstance of Ushin, he would be Chayav. Even though the Pesach is not in Rishus HaRabim, the bar is Smuchal Rishus HaRabim. So that's what I think the Gemara says over here. Again, the Reisha, what I call the Reisha, where he had the Pesach in Rishus HaRabim, would imply that if there was no Pesach Rishus HaRabim, and even if the rabbin would have access to his bar, but his bar is in Rishus HaYochid, he is potter for that. Whose sheet does that remind you of? I own the bar, and it's accessible and dangerous to the rabbin, and yet I'm potter. Right, that was Rabba's version of Rabbi Yishmael, because Rabba holds that according to Rabbi Yishmael, there's only one machayev of a bar, and that's bar Bershuso, meaning bailus over a bar, balabar, yishalin. So again, even if I were to dig a bar in my backyard and then be mafkir the whole rishus around the bar, says Rabbi Shmuel Yupata, the only time in which a bar is chayv is that it has, if I created a Pesach in rishus harab, that's a perfect reformulation of Rabbi Shmuel according to Rab. But on the other hand, in the Sefer, as we'll call it, the Ushin Sefer, the Brisa establishes that the only reason he's potter for this bar that's smuchal rishus harabim is because of Ushin. And the Gemara says, Taimo de Ushin, the reason why he's potter is because he's not guilty, he's not a criminal for digging this bar, because for Ushin you're allowed to dig boros. And again, the Ushin, by definition, is going to be on the boundary of Rishus HaRabim, because that's where he wants to set up his Choma, right? The Usha was the foundation for the Choma. Holav Ushin, if not for the fact that there were no Ushin there, is Chayav. So the Gemara says, if you're Chayav, the only Machayav could be what? It was, again, the bar is where? Is in Rishus HaYochid, correct? And if it wasn't for Ushin, you'd be Chayav, even though it's a bar, Rishus HaYochid, Hamani. Who is the author of that Sefer? It would have to be Rabbi Akiva, because again, Rabbi Akiva is the one who says that you're Chayav for a bar, Rishus HaYochid, because of your bailus over the bar. So if you could write down the following. The Reisha is assuming that a bar that you have bailus over your potter for. And the Sefer is assuming, in all cases with the exception of Ushin, you're chayev for a bar Rishus HaYochid. That bailus is machayev. So the Gemara says the following. If we go like Rabba, Bishleima l'Rabba, Reisha Rabbi Yishmael, V'Sefer Rabbi Akiva. This Reisha could be interpreted smoothly, if I'm willing to separate the Reisha and the Sefer, and say that the Reisha reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael, that you're only Chayav for bar if it was Rishus HaRabim, but if it's Rishus HaYochid and you own the bar, you're not Chayav. Again, unless it's a Pesach in Rishus HaRabim, but that's a different story. Whereas the Sefer reflects the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, who says that you're Chayav for bailus over a bar, as long as there was access of the rabbin to the bar, which means you were mafkir the rishus around the bar. And if the only mitigating circumstance would be chofer liushin. Ela l'Rav Yosef, but if I go with Rav Yosef, then I'm going to be really stuck over here. Because again, what was the conclusion of the Reisha? Bailus over the bar is not a machayev. Is Bishlema Seifa? in a sefer which says that you own the bar and you're chayev unless it was ushin. Is that l'diri akol? That works out according to everybody. Because according to Rav Yosef, everybody embraces the machayev of bala bar yishalim. El Resha, but the Resha that assumes that bialus over the bar is not a machayev, mani. Who is the author of that Resha? Lo Rabbi Yishmael, the lo Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Yosef, everybody, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, both embrace the primary mode of bar, namely bialus. And you're certainly chayev for your ownership of the bar. That's the, according to Rabbi Akiva, that's the only case you're chayev. But according to Rabbi Yishmael, certainly a chayev in that case. So how do we understand the ratio? According to Rabbah, we can understand the ratio that bialus is not a machayev, and that's Rabbi Shmuel. Because according to Rabbah, Rabbi Shmuel maintains that the only machayev is the creation of the bar, i.e. in Rishus HaRabbah. So we can always say that the ratio reflects the shita of Rabbi Shmuel, but according to Rabbi Yosef, even Rabbi Shmuel adopts the position that bialus over the bar is machayev. So how do I understand the ratio? Rav Yosef, Kula, Divrei Akoli. The entire Braisa reflects everybody's Shita. And that's a pretty surprising statement. In other words, in the Seif, I understand that Barber Shuso, with the exception of Ushin, is Chayav because, according to Rav Yosef, everybody embraced the Shita that bialus over the bar is Machai. But Reisha, what am I going to do with the Reisha? Oh, it's a case of Shalo Hifkir Lo Rishuso Velo Boro, where he never gave the Ravim access to the bar. So the difference, says Rav Yosef, between the Reisha and the Seifa, we'll go backwards in this case, from the Seifa up to the Reisha, the Seifa, he gave access to the Ravim, to the bar, he was Mafkir, the Rishus around the bar. And therefore he's Chayev because Bailus is a Machayev. But in the Reisha, he never gave access to the Rabbim to his bar. It's in the middle of his backyard, and therefore he's potter. So the Rashba asks the following question. What was the Mishnah trying to tell me over here? The Braisa, excuse me. It doesn't seem to be machadish to me any chidushim. In other words, if in fact no one has access to this bar because it's a bar in my backyard and I wasn't mafkid, it was just around the bar, what was the even halamina that I would say I'm chayv for such a bar? Says the Rashba, and perhaps this is implicit in Rashi, Dibra maschil bershuso lo bershuso. Now again, if you want to see the Rashi, but every Gemara is a little different, that's the problem. Do you have Hagos v'tziyunim on the right side? No.
Yes.
You do? Yeah. So if you look below the Hagos v'tziyunim, there's a Rashi that says Lo Rishuso V'lo Boro. Rashi writes V'itzrich Lashmeina D'afagav Deina Rashoi Lasos Kein She'ein Osin Chalal Tachas Rishuso Ravim Miu Hoel Rishuso Pischo is Potu. Okay, so this Rashi I think is premature for us. Let me just see. Lo Rishuso Hifkir. Oh, let's see. The Gemara's language is Shalo Hifkir Lo Rishuso Velo Boro. Correct? So Rashi is asking, okay, he's part because the Amalei Rishuso in my boy. What are you doing in my backyard?
You need the Boro.
Oh, the Itzrich, says Rashi. What's the Chiddush here? So Rashi says, Lashmina to teach us the Afagav, the Eno Rashoi Lasos came. Why isn't he Rishoy Lasos Kane? Because
it's a son of the Rishus
HaRavim. Just one second. If you're Lo Rishus HaRavim, the Ein Osin Chalal Tachas Rishus HaRavim. Alright, I'm a little bit confused here at this moment. I'll have to come back to this Rashi later. What does he mean Chalal Tachas Rishus HaRavim? That was the first case in the Braisa.
That's the ratio of the Mishnah.
But we were talking about the case of Chofer Boros Bishus Ayochi. Just one second. Rav Yosef Kula Kidiri Akolhi Reisha. So I'm not sure why Rashi assumes here that he did something illegal. What do you say? No, Rashi says Ein Rashoi Lasoskin. What's Ein Rashoi Lasoskin? I don't understand those words. Now I understand what Rashi is bothered by. So what's the chiddush here if he dug a bar in his backyard? Obviously he's potter. So what's the Ein Rashoi Lasoskin? So Rashi is assuming.
I thought I was talking about it with some of the rishus rabbi.
Just one second. I got myself a little. It was very clear to me before I came into shiur, but now one second. Chofer boros sichin uma oros rishus ayochid is he would now be potter unless he creates a pesach in rishus rabbi. Some reason he's going back to the first case. What was the first case? Hopefully, Bar Shus Rab Pisco Shus Ayochid Potter. And what happened over here? But it says he was Mafkir. He wasn't Mafkir, not his Rishus and not his Bar. So it can't be the first case of a Chofer Bar Rishus Rab. And what does it mean? The low boro, it's not his boro. This must be referring to the next case of a chofer boro sichnu ma'oros b'rishus ayochid. So what's the afal gav de ein rashoi lasos kein she'eino sin chalal tashushim hol rishuso.
It can't be the case. It's talking about where he dug in Rishus HaRabim, and that's not the case.
Yeah, but again, Rashi's going, look at the Gemara, right? The Gemara says, Reisha shalo hifkir lo Rishuso velo Boro.
Right.
So obviously we're talking about a person who was chofer Boro in his own Rishus.
That's right.
So how could Rashi say that? Yeah, I don't know.
Make a mistake.
I don't know. Look at the Marsha. Maybe he points this out. I didn't see it. Okay, so what we get from Rashi is that at least Rashi is empathetic to our cause, and he's looking for some sort of itzrich, you know, some sort of justification why the Braisa felt compelled to tell me this, because I just don't know his answer. So bli neder, you know, we'll see if we can come up with something. I'm sure it's my mistake, but I just don't know what, you know, where did I mess up over here? The Chafir is a bar. One second. Bialis over the bar is definitely machayev, and the Risha, which says that what? That a chofer bar v'shuso is potter, is because lo hifkir, lo boro, v'lo v'shuso. And where's the Risha? That is part of a barber shuso. Just one second. El Resha. What was the kash again? Let's go back to the kash. El Resha. Mani. Who authors the Resha? Lokar Avishmav, Lokar Avikiva, because everybody agrees that he's chayef for barber shuso. But that's only in the Tanai that there was access of the Rabbim. Here he didn't give the Rabbim access. So I don't understand what Rashi means here. Okay, I don't want to stop here because the clock keeps ticking. Okay. Omar of Ashi. Hashta de okimta lefi li Rav Yosef l'diri akol. Now that because we were right pressed to defend Rav Yosef, we interpreted the Brice in such a way that it could work out according to everyone, is l'rabba nami lo tukma kitanoi. It wasn't so comfortable for us according to Rabba to say that the Resha is Rav Yishmael and the Seif is Rav Yekiva. We can now assume that the entire Brice is one shita. And how so? Midereisha Rabbi Yishmael Sefer Nami Rabbi Yishmael. Why not assume that even the Sefer is Rabbi Yishmael? And keep in mind that according to Rabba, Bar B'Shus Rabbim, everybody agrees, is Chayov. And he says the following, Taima, why is the person Potur in the Sefer? Dile Ushin, only if it's Lushin. Ha Lav Lushin Chayov. So why would he be chayev in the case of Lav Le'ushin? After all, Rabbi Shmuel says, according to Rabbah, there's no machayev of Bailus over the bar. And the answer is, Kigon, the Arvach arvuche. He widened the digging, lirshus harab, and he sort of overstepped the boundary and went into rishus harab. So since part of the bar is in rishus harab, even Rabbi Shmuel is going to say that although there's no bailus of rishuso of bailus of bar, but in this situation he's going to be moda because the bar stretched into, you know, over, it's like an overgrown weed that went into the rishus harab, and therefore the only case you're potter for is chofer ulshin. Again, even though it's very strange, chofer ulshin means that a person is allowed, he's given municipal permission to put this foundation down so that he can build his choma, but I don't know why that therefore means he's going to be potter for damages.
Because everyone knows that that's where it is.
Maybe because everyone knows that's where it is, because the Gemara in Bob Metzias says that if a person throws his garbage out during certain times of the year, right, into Rishus HaRab, he's allowed to do so, but nevertheless, he has to pay damages. Here the Gemara seems to assume, ipso facto, if you're allowed to do it, in the case of Ushin, then you don't have to pay damages. Alright, Meisve, HaChofer Bar Birshus HaYochid, we learned in this braisa that if he opens up the bar into Shram Chayav, but in a case where Birshus HaYochid, the opening of Rishus, of this bar is in Rishus HaYochid, technically it's over the bounds within his private property, Hasmucha, but it borders on Rishus HaRab Padur, is Bishleim L'Rabba. We can explain this according to Rabba Kula Rabbi Yishmael, because again, according to Rabbi Yishmael, there's no machayev of bailus over the bar. And again, Rabbi Akiva would say you're chayev in such a case because you put it so close to the Rishus HaRab, you're creating a takola. Because Rabbi Akiva has, in addition to the machayev of bar Rishus HaRab, he's got a bar Birshuso, the ownership of the bar. Ela Rav Yosef, Bishleima Resha, Rabbi Yishmael, who says, according to Rabbi Yosef, that there's a machayev of bar Birshus HaRabim, and therefore since it's Mukha Lishus HaRabim, he's chayev El Seifa Mani, the Seifa that says that if he digs a bar in his Rishus, he's Patur, is Loker Rabbi Yishmael, the Loker Rabbi Akiva. No one could accept that in the case where it's bar Birshus, he's Patur. So how could it possibly be that a chofer bar Birshus HaYochid Asmuch L'Rishus HaRabim is potur? No one, according to Rabbi Yosef, would maintain that a chofer bar Asmuch L'Rishus HaRabim is potur. Amar lecha b'chofer l'ushin, that even though his bar is on the gvul of Rishus HaRabim in Smucha, but nevertheless they allowed him to dig such a bar in order to set up a choma, foundations for a choma, v'divrei hakol, and everybody agrees that he's potur. Torah Amona, we learned in another braisa, chofar uposach. So he dug a bar in Rishus HaRabim, umosar l'rabim, and he decided to give it as a gift to the municipality. This is the case I discussed before where it's going to serve as a cistern to collect water for Rishus HaRabim. Is potur. He doesn't have to pay damages. Now what does it mean that he was moser l'rabim? So Rashi says that he tells the members of the city, well, I know, he puts up a public announcement, or maybe there's something called the Shiva Tuveir, they represent the city, who are responsible for the Tzorchei Rabim. He tells them, you know what, you can use this as a cistern. In such a case, now the achrayus on any nezikin falls on the shoulders of the Rabim. Chofar uposach v'lo masol Rabim chayov. If, on the other hand, he digs a bar v'shus a Rabim, but he never actually did the Mesira, then he's Chayav. Now, why did the Bryce have to tell me that? I mean, this is, at least according to Rabba, for sure, there's a classical case of Bar Birshus HaRabim. So the answer is that what the Bryce wants to tell me is that even though he allows the Ravim to use the bar as a cistern, but nevertheless he wasn't Moser it. He never did the actual Mesira. And until he publicly declares that this belongs to the Ravim, then he's Chayov. V'chein minhago shel nechunya. Now this part, we only have about 10 minutes left, but this is an agadata. The Gemara says that Nechunya, one of the Tanoim, was actually Chofer Boros Sichon Moros. He did this in Rishus Rabim, Shaya Chofer Uposeach Umosel L'Rabim. He actually used to do this kind of thing. He would dig a bar in Rishus Rabim and as a, what's it called when you do something for the on behalf of the Rabim? What's it called?
Public service.
A public service, excellent. As a public service. That this individual Nechunya was Mekayim this halacha. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Halacha zu? Vesu lo? I mean, he was Mekayim all of it. It says, Ela Ema af halacha zu. Even this law that, giving the Rabbim a cistern as a public service is a good thing. Tana Rabbana, and Maise Bebito Shal Nechunya. Chofer, this is just for me a little bit of breath of fresh air to learn Agadah. It's a little, lowers the pressure, you know what I mean? So what happened? The daughter of Nechunya fell into a bar. Nechunya was Chofer the bar, and she fell into this bar. Very dangerous situation. Bovo diu es Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. So they notified the father of this girl, Rabbi Hanina. And I'm sorry, this was the daughter of Nechunya. They notified the great tzaddik of the generation who had a power of tefillah, Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. And Shor Rishon Amalem Shalom. Shnia Amalem Shalom. So for the first hour he said, don't worry, she'll survive it. Second hour, same thing. Shlishis Amalehem also. She's already out of the bar. Amru lo mi helach Amru lo. That when she got out of the bar, they asked her, how did you get out of the bar? Mi helach. No, they didn't have these emergency, what are these guys called, with the ladders and stuff. The first responded. Amalehem, there was a zaken, there was an elderly gentleman who was in charge of Zachar Shel Rechelim, a group of male Rechelim. Rechelim, I think, are sheep. What does he have?
Rams.
And Nizdamili. And Zokin Echad Manhigo, he took me out of the bar. So if you look at the Rashi here, Dibra Maskil Zachar Zokin, he says that this was Avram Avinu. And he was looking for an ayal to replace Yitzchak, and somehow he ended up in this bar, and he saved the daughter of Nechunya. Amru lo, so they turned to Rabbi Hanina and he said, Noviato? What do you have, Ruach HaKodesh? How did you know that she would survive such a dangerous situation? Omar lahem, lo novia nochi, velo ben novia nochi. That, by the way, is a pasuk in Amos. Ella kacha marti. This is what I declared. Dovash also tzaddik mitztar bo yikosha bo zaro. Is it possible that something which the tzaddik, meaning Nechunya, he worked so hard to supply as a public service for the rabbin, this bar, and his own children would die in such a place? It's impossible. No, it's that very chefta that is really a mitzvah cannot now turn into a michshol. Omer of acha afal pichein. Nevertheless, you shouldn't think that Nechunya had such an easy life. Meis b'no, he lost a son, Bitsama. That's one of the worst ways to die, of thirst. And why is that so? After all, Nechunya was not guilty of any sort of a sin. And not only that, he wanted to supply the public with water. So it's very strange that his own son should have died of thirst. So the Gemara says he didn't have any terribly guilty sin, but rather the very high standard that God judges the tzaddikim. Shenemar, The pasuk says in Tehillim, "Usvivav nisara miod." Right, nisara is miloshin sear, like a thin thread or hair. Malanich Hakadosh Baruch Hu bedagdek im svivav, meaning with those who are close to him, the tzaddikim who are dovek bo, afilu kechut asayr, like a thin hair. And Hashem will bring about punishment even for the slightest of sins. Hakadosh Baruch Hu bedagdek, in other words, for something that normally for other people God wouldn't even pay any attention; he'd be mochel it. But here, when it comes to tzaddik, there's a high demand, a high standard. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will mete out punishment. Rav Nechunya Omar, Hacha, he says, May Hacha, different pasuk, not the pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Nun, but in a pasuk in Perek Peites, there it says, Kel Narot Besod Kedoshim Rabba V'Noral Kol Svivav. So this pasuk speaks about the Kedoshim and speaks about Nora. You know, like we have the case of Nadav Avihu that died, the Krovei Akadosh, these were the Kedoshim, and that was meant to create a certain noros, you know, a certain fear and awe of God. And therefore, according to Nechunya, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about these punishments to the tzaddikim is so that people around will derive the noros, the fear and the awe of God. They'll say, look, if this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do to such a Kadosh, how much more so, what can he do to someone who's not up to par? Omer Rav Chana v'Itema Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Maidit Siv. And here we're turning to Daf Nun Amid Beis. There's a pasuk in the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachmim. It says, Erech Apayim. Erech Apayim. Apayim is B'loshin Rabin. B'lok Siv Erech Af. It doesn't say B'loshin Yochid. Erech Apayim LaTzadikim Vilar Shayim. God extends his patience, if you will, postponing harsh judgment for both categories of individuals. The tzaddikim who deserve Erech Apayim because Hashem could rely on them that they'll do tshuva, etc., etc. And even for the Rishayim, Hashem is waiting and not meting out punishment. Some of the Mefarshim say, if you take a look in Rashi, not here, but Rashi elsewhere, he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be poreah from the tzaddikim, from the rishonim, excuse me, in the next world, because otherwise they have too many zchuyot in this world. Tana Rabbanan lo yisakel adam irshusa l'shusa rabin. When a person removes stones from his rishus, he shouldn't push them into rishusa rabin. Ma'aseh adam echad shayim yisakel irshusa l'shusa rabin mitzov chasid echad omer lo reika. You're an empty person. And they might have yisakel. Why are you doing such a thing? Liglel Olaf. He started laughing at him. Liyamim, later on, Nitztarich Limkar Sadeu. He had to sell his field. He became so poverty stricken. But also, Rishus Aravim. Vinichshal Biosan Avonim. He tripped over those very stones that were dangerous. Viomar Yofa Omar Yosa Chosin. Vinneimata Mesakil Mirshus. Shein shalcha, l'shus shalcha.
Why do they make this into his Midas Chasidus when in fact it's Allah? He was over on board Rishus HaRabim.
So he writes here, again, we don't have too much time because of Mincha, but he says, Hare sodcha eina behechrik shalcha li'ola. What he's trying to tell him is that, you know what? Your field is not yours forever and ever. Rishus HaRabim, you'll never have a chelik in it. And therefore, in this Maisa, the Chassid was saying that, some second, Shmehavli Nozek, a Reza Kechofer Bar, you know, he was giving him some sort of a hinted, you know, there was a hidden message over here that, you know, you think that you can do whatever you want in your Rishus, because that's yours forever and ever, so you don't care about the Rabin, but at the end, you know, you have to realize that you can't penetrate into the Rabbim and usurp their rights and put these stones there. So again, we're not talking on a halachic level about barbershus or Rabbim. He was talking on a more philosophical level about understanding your place in the universe. And all right, we'll stop.